Is the resurrection good news? The title I have chosen for this morning. There are many things that we could say on an Easter morning, and I won't say them all. But believe you me, I think most of them have probably passed through my mind over the last 3 weeks. This morning I want to step into the land of philosophy, basic philosophy, a little bit just because of the passage that I have chosen. And so I want to explore a little bit the if-then statement. So these statements can be fun, but obviously we need to ensure, first off, that there is actually some truth to them before we build any amount of our life on them. And so these are statements like, if it rains, then things will get wet. If you don't finish what you start, then your success rate will always be zero. If you don't ever intend to help others, then expect them to return the favor. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you are probably not learning much at all. These are just a few of those that I found. This morning I want to draw our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 30 verses. Sorry, my tongue is tangled up this morning. The first 34 verses, and I want to read those, and then I want to expand a little bit on some of the thoughts that are in there. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, whom most are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that it does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. But he has done this. So then, when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, and there will, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Paul preached the gospel wherever he went. Corinth was no different. And so he preached the gospel there. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. Christ has risen. Good news. But there's a word here in that second verse that I want to draw our attention to. It is the word saved. And so I'll try not to bore you with it this morning, but it shows up in a number of places throughout the New Testament. And this word, when it is written in the original Greek, sometimes has different spellings to it. But we translate it as saved when we translate it into English, and it doesn't quite mean that. And so one of them means that you have been saved. It is something that has been happening in the past. The other word to that is you are being saved. It is happening right now. And one is that it will happen in the future. And then there's one that's called what we call a present continuous. It is happening right now. It has happened in the past, and it is continuing to happen. And that's the one that Paul uses right here. It is happening right now, and it will continue to be happening. You are saved. Let me catch my place in my notes. So how can this be? How can I already be saved, continue to be saved, and then have a promise that one day I will be saved? Well, I don't quite understand this. But for me, it's important because it means that things like the resurrection of Jesus Christ can't be something that just is important to me back when I received salvation. It is something that I need to hang on to, because Paul says, if you hang on to what you have believed, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. So we need to hold firmly to this. James says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because what the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. James 1, 6 and 7. So what is this gospel? Paul tells us that what he received, he passed on as of first importance. The most important things first is what he explained to the people of Corinth. Three things. Christ died, he was buried, and he has been raised from the dead. We've been saying about this morning already. We came here on Friday and remembered and commemorated Christ's death and his burial. A few months ago, we came together and we celebrated the birth of Christ. But what good are these things if Christ has not been raised from the dead? This is really the crux of what Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians. Without the resurrection, nothing else matters. And so Paul says the resurrection is of utmost importance. The question has been asked, is belief in Jesus, in Jesus' resurrection, really necessary? Is it necessary for you that you believe in the resurrection? Paul says it is. So this is the first of those if-then statements. If you hold firmly to the gospel, then you are saved. The deal with these if-then statements are, though, you can turn them around and then you say, if you do not hold firmly to the gospel, then you are not saved. Which then means it can't be something that I just, now I'm saved, now I can just go on and live however I want. I think sometimes that's what happens. When we first realize the impact of the gospel, it means a lot to us. And then we just go on with life. And these things kind of fall on the back burner and the importance of them seems to die away. So I am thankful that we celebrate times like this. So is the resurrection good news? Well, according to Paul here, it isn't for everyone. Because some have not believed in the resurrection. There's two types of people that Paul deals with here in this passage. And so he gets the first one right out of the way here in verses 5 to 8. And these would be the people that didn't believe that Christ had been risen at all. And so just recently I watched this movie, The Case for Christ. I read the book in Bible school and then I heard that I was out on a movie. And in most cases, when you read the book and then you watch the movie, you're relatively disappointed with the movie because the books are usually better than the movie, and this is one of those cases. But this is a true story. The Case for Christ is Lee Strobel's story of how his wife came to faith in Jesus Christ, and she wouldn't be quiet about it. But they had agreed when they had gotten married, when they got together, that we are not going to believe in God. There is no God. We agree that there is no God. And so we're not ever going to go there. We're not ever going to make our marriage, our life, complicated by including Jesus Christ into it or God or some other thing. There is no God, and with this life is all there is. And then all of a sudden she becomes a Christian, and now his life is changed because she won't be quiet about it. So Lee Strobel is an investigator. He's a reporter. And so he's used to going after the big story and getting the facts so that he can prove a story either right or wrong. And that is what he sets out to do. He sets out to prove that there is no God so that once and for all he can prove to his wife there is no God, and then we can be done with this and we can continue on with our life. But he struggles where to start. So one of his co-workers says, you should start with the resurrection. If the resurrection did not happen, the rest of the Christian faith is a hoax. It's good for nothing. It's futile. Paul uses that word here a few times. And so that's what he does. He goes out to prove that the resurrection didn't happen. How many witnesses do you need in a court of law to prove a point, to prove the validity of something? In today's court, we have the evidence of DNA and fingerprinting and all the rest of these things, and so sometimes the witness account doesn't mean quite so much. But in Deuteronomy 19 verse 15, it states that by two or three witnesses the matter shall be confirmed. Two or three witnesses is enough to settle a matter in court. And so the people at the writing of this weren't living by the new standards. They were living by the old standards, still by Deuteronomy 19:15. And so Paul goes off and he says, here's the deal. If two or three witnesses are enough, I will show you over 500. To the extreme. And these people will all testify to you that this Jesus Christ who was crucified has been raised. And among those people, you have people like Peter, who denied Christ the night before Christ's crucifixion. And then after Christ being raised, he became very, very bold and refused to follow the law of the land because he had to follow God rather than man. Then you have someone like James, who is the brother of Jesus, who also didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and who is the author of the book of James. So you have these people who were unbelievers, and they are testifying. And then you have Paul saying, I myself am a witness to it. And you know what Paul did, persecuting the church first, and then when he met Christ, changed it around. So the evidence is all there that Christ has in fact been risen. And Lee Strobel, that's exactly what he found. He was not able to disprove that Christ had been raised. So what is that left with? Then he must accept the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The other part is those that believed in the resurrection. So what does that mean? Well, maybe it's only Christ that would be resurrected. The people couldn't refute Christ's resurrection, but they argued that only Christ was raised from the dead and no one else would be. You see, knowing and believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not without effect. And so what effect does Christ's resurrection have on you? Did your life change when you believed? Paul says that he worked harder than all of them when he believed, except that it wasn't really him that was doing the work, rather it was God's grace in him that was working in and through him. Paul did a complete turnaround. He went from persecuting the church for following after the teachings of Jesus Christ to going and teaching the teachings of Jesus Christ. A complete turnaround. Christ's resurrection changed his thinking. So what does the resurrection of Christ mean? It means that Jesus is in fact who he said he was. God. And if Jesus Christ is God, then his very words are the words to live by. If Jesus Christ is not God, then his words amount to no more than mine or yours. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then you can choose to take it or leave it. If Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then there's a right and a wrong. And your life makes a difference. You see, Paul, before he met Christ, thought that the way that people lived made a difference. But he saw it through the eyes of religion. That's why he got away with persecuting the church. There's still a right and a wrong way, but it's a man-made way. And even within the Jewish religion, there were people that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So if Christ has not been raised, then not even Christ has been raised. Sounds weird. If Christ has not been raised, then not even Christ has been raised. If the dead aren't raised, then Christ isn't raised. Our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. We are liars. No one is raised from the dead. You are still in your sins. Everyone who has died before is lost. Maybe some of these things don't matter. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, who is God? Is there a God? These types of questions are maybe, and you are still in your sins, what does it matter? What is sin if Christ hasn't been raised? The resurrection of Christ brings all of these things into perspective. But some will say it doesn't matter. Even if Christ has not been raised, then life then the life of the Christian, sorry, let me rephrase that. Even if Christ has not been raised, the life of a Christian is still the best way to live. And I will continue to live this way because I think it's the best way to live. Even if Christ has not been raised. And Paul says, you've got to be kidding me. The life of a Christ follower is to be pitied more than any other life if you only have life, if you only have hope for today, for this life that is right here, right now. If you have no hope beyond the grave, then the life of the Christian is pointless. Why in the world would you make yourself a doormat for somebody? For what point? He says it's completely pointless if Christ has not been raised. Everything hinges on this one event, whether Christ in fact was raised or not. Let me turn your attention to verse 29. It's a little bit of a confusing verse for us. Reads this way. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? So what's this practice that Paul is talking about? Well, somebody dies, but they haven't been baptized. So we take their dead body and we baptize their dead body with the hopes of them now receiving eternal life. Or you have this group, this select group in your church, and then one dies and his part is now missing from that, so we baptize somebody else and put them in there. It doesn't make sense to us, this kind of practice, but Paul doesn't address the practice. But what he does address is that by your actions, you are proving what you believe. By your actions, you are proving what you believe. And so what you say you believe and what you are doing aren't lining up. They're contradicting each other. Because you're telling me that there is no resurrection of the dead, so why in the world would you do this? Makes no sense. I believe in heaven. Most people do. Especially when it comes to their loved ones passing away. They want to believe in heaven. We find comfort in the fact that when our loved ones pass away, that they enter into heaven. We don't like the idea of when our loved ones pass away, they might go to hell. But you can't have it both ways. You will prove what you believe by your actions. The Bible certainly doesn't teach us that there is only a heaven and no hell. The Bible is quite clear about that. Paul says our faith is not a blind faith. He's putting the evidence out there that this Jesus Christ, who was crucified and buried and is now risen again, is in fact God. Verse 20 to 23, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Paul says, all this, but if Christ has not been raised, throw it away. We're done, because in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So for us, for me, these are the most beautiful words. Because now, our preaching isn't useless. My faith isn't useless. I'm not considered to be a liar. Everyone is raised from the dead. I no longer need to be in sin. And there's hope for those who have died before me. But you may ask me then, if this belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important, then how were people before the resurrection saved? Because they couldn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't even know that it would happen. Well, they should have, they could have known, I guess, if they had read the prophecies of the Old Testament. They were saved the same way that you and I are saved. They are saved by faith in God, which is how we are saved. God made a promise to everyone before the time of Christ that he would send a Messiah who would save them. Those who believed that were saved. But their belief has an effect on their life. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3, Galatians 3:6, James 2:23. Abraham's belief that God was God impacted his life. His entire life changed because now there was somebody that was giving direction to his life. Now God has sent the Messiah, and so we must believe that he has. Does that make sense? Now the Messiah has been sent. Before God said, I will send a Messiah, do you believe me? Now God is saying, I sent the Messiah. Do you believe that I have sent the Messiah? And that's where many people will go wrong. Jesus said, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is evidence that Jesus, in fact, is the Son of God. We can't get around it. So now our belief is not that he will send a Messiah. Our belief is that he has sent a Messiah. Same thing, faith in God, that he has done what he said he would do. It is because of this faith that we are freed from the penalty of sin. Christ has taken it upon himself and fulfilled the just requirements of God. By his stripes we are healed. But this good news is also bad news. Because now people are left without excuse. Romans teaches us that even creation tells us that we are already without excuse. And now there's even more evidence. Salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But this belief will change your entire life. You cannot continue to look at the world with a let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die type attitude. You cannot have a careless attitude if you believe in fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because your life matters. Paul says in verse 33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. Paul is addressing the people of Corinth. And some of them did exactly what a lot of people in our world are doing today. They confess faith in Jesus Christ, and yet it has no impact on their life. They continue to live in the same worldly lifestyle as what they ever have. It has no impact. If Christ's death and resurrection does not change your life, you have not believed. It hasn't impacted your life. Do not be misled. Let me conclude with this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is great news. Without his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection to life, we would be forever lost in our sins Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The second half of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just a matter of accepting it. But it will change your life. And if it doesn't, you should ask, have I really believed? Put your trust in God that Jesus Christ is the sent Messiah who has once and all paid the penalty for our sin and has been raised from the dead so that we no longer need to be enslaved to the power of sin and death. Then seek to live a life that is pleasing to Him. I want to close in prayer. We took corporate prayer out of our service this morning. So I encourage you to take your bulletins home and remember these prayer items that are mentioned in the back. But this morning, that will not be. Those will not be parts of our prayer. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you. You had a plan from the very beginning. Way back in Genesis, we read it already. Thank you for following through with your plan. Father's a father myself. I have tried to place myself into that situation where I would send my own child. And so through that, I only have a glimpse of the pain that you must have felt by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to come to this world. And yet you did. So I praise you for that. Jesus Christ, I thank you for your willingness to go on our behalf. And we read of your struggle, but we can only imagine what that struggle was like. To follow through and place yourself on that cross, or allow yourself to be placed on that cross, when you had all the power available to you. You didn't need to go, but you went for us. We praise you for that. God, I give you praise for raising Christ from the dead, so that we, in fact, have hope, but not only for this life, but also for the life to come. And the promise of what this life will be like and on the other side of the grave. Father, help us not to live just for the other side of the grave, but help us also to live for this side of the grave, that our life matters. Not just later, but right now it matters. You came while we were still in our sin. Father, I thank you that it is not within our own self that it is that we attain this salvation, but it is the grace that you give to us, the grace that works in us and through us, that gives us this salvation. Father, I pray that as the Christian community, as Christ followers, that we may be a light out there, that we may never forget the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again for our salvation. Father, help us to be bold about that. Help us not to hide it. Because when it makes a difference to us and it matters, it's truth not only for us, but it's truth for the whole world. And those that don't know are forever lost in their sin if they do not know. Because this reality still is a reality. Help us not to hide this. Help us to live out our lives so that your name is honored and glorified. May the message of the risen Savior never become mundane to us. May it continually impact our lives for the sake of the building of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for the life that you give. May you empower us to go and live this life for your honor and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.